many children would come and tell you when they lost their virginity.
That's true. Oh, my gosh.
Can they hear the fact that I'm blushing?
Touch the Muppet Baby.
May the force be with you.
Because when I die, it's going to piss me off.
Oh, picturing my 2-year-old, the freedom to get all red-faced in the middle of the living room and just launch some ass candy into his diaper.
I never want to eat candy again.
Shut your face!
It's like, just like, why are you such an ass?
But it, deep down, I'm like, I'm always surprised that people listen.
And now look at us. We're doing an iPod in the dining room.
Oh,
right out of the box, Greg is already entertaining my child.
Woo. All right, how's it going, everybody? Here we go.
Woo.
Hey, Jacob. How old is Jacob?
He is 18 months old.
18. This guy's a madman. He's going to be a huge success.
Whoa, you can see that?
Yeah.
Are you a baby?
Right. He's sitting at the table with us, participating. He doesn't even know what's going on, but he knows he needs to be a part of it. I like this guy. It's great. Yeah. All right. Let's get it going in here. Podcast. We're national. Worldwide. Here we go. Justin and Kevin. Some lovely women making food. Let's go.
Yeah. That's how we do it. We're very old fashioned.
Are you guys making us food? Because we could use some food.
More food? I think they're already striking. This is how a woman gets hit. I just want you to know this up front, ladies.
I was engaged once, man. That is hard to get out of. How many times can you fake your own death? PayPal, I'm doing jokes, everybody. Got to walk around for 2 years in Canada wearing a clip-on mustache. It's hard to get out of. Are you Greg Hahn? No, I'm Flap Jackson. All right. What's going on? Hey.
You get the baby going. Yeah, show him you're clapping. Nice work.
Let's get it going.
No kidding.
Thanks for having me on the big podcast.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks for being on. For those of you I think I've told this story, but I saw Greg.
Yeah, I want to hear the story.
Yes.
I don't know what I'm doing here. Go ahead.
So here's what happened. I went to help a Mr. Heath Heitch audition for the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival at the Laugh Factory.
Right.
This is not the opinions of Greg Hahn. This is purely the opinions of Justin Worsham, but they put on a superb, shitty showcase for the Just for Laughs. There was no real crowd there. They had the comics left over from the open mic auditions that were there on a Tuesday or whatever that just stuck around, and then it was all industry people, and it was absolutely horrible. But then Greg Hahn, the tour de force of comedy that he is, goes up and destroys, just absolutely crushes.
To all six
did
people
I?
In the audience?
Yes. Oh, yes, you did. Yes. Yeah. You did. Oh, you were the only person that the people from the festival went up to after the showcase and were actually talking to. And I was like, as it should be, because I was.
We are talking, sir.
Sorry.
This is a real conversation.
Jake did not like that showcase either. Yeah. I'm with you. That was a bad showcase. He's right.
The other thing, but my first experience with you was I saw you on the show Comics Unleashed. And again,
this is not,
I'm sure, your opinion, but it's been said that the Byron Allen approach to setting comics up to do pieces of their act can be a little awkward at times because there is no real transition.
Well, that's what I like. I like no transitions.
Yeah.
You know I mean? Like, it works for me fine. I don't even pretend like we're having a conversation. No. You know what I mean? He says something, I just turn right to the crowd.
Exactly.
Yelling my bit. You ever go to a job interview? Greg, what kind of car do you drive? Hey, everybody, you ever go to a job interview and decide you don't want the job? Then you got to goof off. Make sure you don't get hired. What can you bring to this company? Head lice.
So, about your car. About my car.
that's what made me.
I got an SUV, man. I just go from gas station to gas station. Pow, pow, ping, pow. Okay, go ahead. All right. So that's where you saw me.
That's where I saw you first, was at
Laugh Factory, man.
Comics Unleashed, and then I saw you again where I got a chance to meet you. Very brief. Like, it was just, you know, you knew Heath, and he was like, oh, this is my friend Justin, you know, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah,
but
he's a madman.
Yeah, he is. And I don't know. I just think I thought you were entertaining.
Thanks.
I wanted to bring you to the audience that is here at the Second Funniest
Podcast.
Man,
I appreciate it. Let's say, all right, thanks for having me here, man. I don't think I'm going to do that comedy festival.
You don't
Why
think
not?
So?
No, I don't think so. I don't think they like that. No, I don't think so.
These people are insane. Absolutely insane.
I mean, if they call, I'll be amazed. But, it's been over a year, though, hasn't it? Wasn't that at the audition for last year?
I think so, man.
Yeah, no, they haven't called about last year, and last year came and went.
You sure you didn't do it? You might have done it.
I wasn't there.
Now, we found out before we turned on the microphones that we also have, the three of us have a similar background in that you also used to work at Great America out in Gurnee, Illinois, which is like the twin park to the California version that we worked at.
Well, it was my first big gig I had. Is my breakout gig in the show business in the corporate world.
How old were you, can I ask?
29.
29, nice. Boom.
29, yeah, and I had a...
What were you doing before you did this?
I was like some type of a headhunter type thing. Some job, some job that I hated, you know.
Is that why you quit? Because you weren't sure what the job was?
Yeah, it was an awful job. You're supposed to go out and recruit people and get them jobs and... You know what headhunters do, don't you? They get people jobs. Yeah. You go into like into another company and you say, okay, how's your general ledger? How's your accounting department? Do you need anybody? How, you know, it's horrible, awful. Yeah. So anyway, I thought, man, I'm going into show business, you know? And I'd done like four open mics, so I thought, I'm ready.
You're done.
So I got to the and I had a roommate at the time in Orlando. I'm like, dude, watch this. I'm going, this is a true story. Watch this. I'm going into show business right now. I'm going in. So I grabbed the phone book, slammed it on the table, and went to talent agent. And the first one, her name was A1 Peg. I called her up and said, hello, A1 Peg. Hi, my name is Greg Hahn. I do comedy. I can MC a show. So give me a call. And she said right away, you know what? Funny, we just got a call from a guy who is looking for an MC for the Paul Bunyan Lumberjack Show.
Nice.
And I'll see if he's interested. Yeah, okay. Let him know. See if he's interested. Off the phone. 5 minutes later, the phone rings. Ring. Hi, this is Leela Captain with the Paul Bunyan Lumberjack Show. And turns out he lives a few houses down. Right? This is true. So I just walked down to his house. I've got an axe. And he's got a big target on his garage door. And he's teaching me how to throw an axe. I say within 45 minutes, I'm at this guy's house throwing an axe at his garage, missing the target, hitting the garage door.
Nice.
Then I got hired. And, you know, I was looking for another job already. So I had one of those, another headhunter called, it was Talent Tree. Remember that company? Anyway, whatever. They're supposed to find you a job. And she found me a job. I'm like, never mind that. I'm joining the Paul Bunyan Lumberjack Show for the summer. And she's like, you're 29. You need to get it together. That is asinine, Greg. That is an asinine decision you're making. You know? I'm in show. I'm going to the theme park.
I'm in show business.
In 3 months, $450 a month. I got paid. You know what I mean? And I had to keep, and the lumberjacks came in. They were wild. I mean, they were drunk, and they got axes.
So the show was they had real lumberjacks.
Real
doing
lumberjacks,
like...
chainsaws, axes, a log rolling dog that couldn't even swim. And I had MC. Well, we didn't let it. I mean, we took care of the dog.
Oh, okay.
We named her Splash. But what I would do is I had to keep the show together. And these guys would be drunk and really make some mistakes with these power tools.
Like
and
chainsaw axes, themselves.
Sharp equipment,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'd be like, ladies and gentlemen, one slip, because they wanted suspense. Ladies and gentlemen, one slip or glance of the axe could totally take off his foot. No, told you. Our next event. Anyway,
so they would
the log rolling dog, Splunk. And that's the show.
I thought his name was Splash.
Next one, 4:30. Yeah.
Splunk is what Splash did.
Yeah, right.
That was her finale.
Oh, this was it. One slipper glance of the axe. The only place he could go is directly into his foot. That's what that was the script. Then, you know, sure enough, every you know, 50 shows, bang, the guy hit his foot or carve a piece of his leg off, spin around. Oh, it was spooky.
Yeah.
We finished a lot of shows with ambulance lights in the background.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Not a lot
of shows.
Is
the audience watching?
By a lot, I mean two. But I mean, it was...
That's a lot more than I'd like.
Yeah, it was wild. But I just keep the show going, you know? One of the tree climbers was a huge alcoholic, and he'd go to the top of the tree, get dizzy, his hooks would come out, and just...
No.
All the way down, bam, and crash in the pad, and hold still... And we just do the log rolling with him, like, laying in the pad, you know, till the end of the show. And I tell the audience, I'd make a joke, he's all right. Let's bring out Hot Sauce Sarah and the log rolling dog, you know.
Now, did you ever have, like, cast after parties? Or?
Oh, it was a nonstop party. Yeah. Every night was a huge party.
Like,
yeah, we all had our girlfriends that danced in the 60s show. Oh, it was great. What a life, man. How can I get back to that? It was a good time. It was fun.
Would you take
that was my first gig.
You'd take a pay cut to go back to that lifestyle?
No, I'm doing some of the stuff is jokes. I'd rather not. But anyway, yeah, that's how I started, man, because I had a microphone and four audiences a day.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
It's good training ground.
Totally. Yeah. Try to make some ad libs and whatever.
We both hosted five times a day. We hosted the Nickelodeon game show, yep. like at the theme park in California. That's what we did. We'd pour some slime on kids.
Probably in the same theater,
that's
I bet.
More advanced.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, because you were at the Yukon Theater, right?
I was.
And that became the
Gurney?
Yeah, in Gurney. That was the
outdoor,
Yukon
the outdoor theater?
And that became the Nickelodeon Theater at our theme park.
With that swimming pool in the middle. Had a swimming
yes,
pool.
Yes, yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We used to have dolphins, I guess, in ours.
Were we right next to that big water? Who cares? It's boring for the people. Hey, everybody.
That's fascinating for us.
All right. My new girlfriend has implants, 4 fake teeth. Ping, pow, pow, hey! That's a joke. Been doing since 1995.
Now, you also, this is another reason what I was curious about. You have a very, obviously, very specific, like, comedy voice. Like, you know how most people, they find out that they should do comedy because people tell them that they're funny in the workplace or whatever. Like, is this the kind of thing that you were doing at a water cooler, or?
I guess I like jokes. Yeah, when I was young, I liked, you know, you can make your parents laugh, and you can make the girl in high school laugh sitting next to you. I hated the class clown.
Yeah.
But then, then you think, man, I could play the drums. So I think, man, I got a rhythm. I got something, right?
I got something going on.
But it doesn't even appear, seem to be an option when you're coming up, going through college and whatnot. You know, I'll be a comedian because no one in my family was a comedian. But then later on, I think I watched some comedians, and I watched this guy in Boston really, really tank. Mm. And I remember hanging out long and watching him get paid. You know, I remember a lot of bills, and I thought, man, I could tank and get paid. Now I got it. You know,
45 minutes later.
Got it mastered. But I just started. You know, you bomb it up, you let the bombing begin.
Yeah.
And go on stage a million times, and boom, okay, here we are.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I spent my life on Delta.
Did you ever like have any moment after when you started doing strictly stand up? Like what happens after post Lumberjack show?
Lumberjack show, then you get a job in the Wild West stunt show at Universal Studios.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Nice.
Here in Hollywood or what?
I did the one at Disneyland. So
you did? All right.
Yeah,
the stunt show?
Yeah, it's not a stunt show, but we had guns, so
yeah,
it's pretty sweet.
Stunts.
It was pretty great. We didn't fall off anything.
Yeah.
But you were falling off stuff, right?
Yeah, I had to leap backwards into a well and train and fall around, and I wasn't good at it, you know? So I had a limp. I had a limp for 4 years. I really had a limp, sciatic nerve. It was great.
Oh, wow.
And then, whatever. You're not supposed to land on your neck. You're supposed to get all the way around and disperse the energy out through your limbs.
Right.
Thank you for breaking that down.
I couldn't quite spin all the way around, you know what I mean? So I'd leap off the building and crash headfirst through the boards. You know, then that voice would come from the booth.
You okay, Craig?
Yeah, I'm all right.
How do you give an upside down thumbs up when you head first into boards?
We had one guy got hooked on crack. That's the guy I was supposed to do a stick fight with.
Man.
I remember he started really tagging me in the face. You're supposed to do it in front of your face, and then you spin your head as if you're hit.
Yeah.
And he would hit me right in the face. You know, and I'm like, whoa! I'd fly backwards and fall into the well.
Oh my
big
gosh.
Mark on my head. I'm like, well, I guess we sold that one, you know?
You okay, Greg?
You know, what's wrong with Sam?
He's on crack.
All right.
Anyway. So being on crack wasn't his stunt. It was a thing he did for recreation.
No, it was temporary. I think he's okay now. It was a rough couple of shows there for a while.
Was your character's name Lefty? Because you had the limp?
No, I was Claude.
Oh, that makes
big,
a lot of
big
sense.
Dumb guy.
Claude the Cowboy.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what you do, man. Then you start getting better, you know, and start opening the shows and sucking at that for years. And then people are like, you're not a middle yet? And then you're a middle. You know, then 100 years go by, you're not headlining yet? Everyone you know is headlining and doing TV spots, you know, coming out on Letterman.
Right.
You know, you're sitting there in some horrible hotel. There's no rats in the wall. Turn on the TV, seeing your buddies come out on Letterman.
Do you ever do the River Center Comedy Club in San Antonio, Texas?
I did that. I've done that before. I've done that, I think, a couple times.
I just came back from there in January, and that's the worst comedy condo I've ever stayed in my...
I remember that thing, yeah.
Limited experiences. How you remember it, I don't know how long you were there. Take that and imagine... somehow ghettoizing it, if you would. It took a brief stint. It left its time as a comedy condo and became a brothel for a short period.
Did it really?
No.
It was a big building.
It's an old apartment building.
Part of it. Like 3 or 4 stories or something.
Yes, and the headliner's condo has 2 bedrooms and 1 bathroom, and it's up on like the 7th floor. The features condo is a studio, and it's on like the 4th floor. I was featuring that week, but the headliner said, I'm not staying in the condo. I'm getting my own hotel.
Right.
So they bumped me up. And I remember, I think I've talked about it on the show, where the guy, the manager was like, you haven't tore up the room yet, have you? Like, I just walked into the room. I just dropped my bags off. And then he came back. He was like, we're going to bump you up to the headline room if you didn't tear up the other one.
Right.
I was like, do people really go in and just like, what does he think happens?
Well, you had peed on the walls already. Right?
Well, that I did because that's what you need to do to tell people that I was here.
Right.
I mean, that's hacky if you write your name on the wall. I mean, you do that at the comedy club. You don't.
Right.
You write it in your own urine.
Yeah, those condos are, they're just, I get insulted.
Yeah.
That's the new thing. Yeah. Not the new thing, it's the old thing, but. You know, like I remember in Louisville had a famous condo.
Uh-huh.
And like I'd find some old, here's one of the classics when you know you're a bad condo. There's nothing to keep the light out in the morning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or some horrible blinds are just worthless.
Yeah.
You're a comedian. Put something up there. We need to be in the dark all day and hold still. You know what I mean? It needs to be cold.
Like a vampire.
Yeah, it gets hot. And the sun's coming in. You wake up at 5:30 or whatever. So I'd always find something. I remember this place didn't have a hammer or whatever. I found nails somewhere, but I used the iron and just destroyed the iron, banging nails through the comforter to make a curtain, you know?
See, this is why the comedy condos are so bad.
Yeah,
These are the things that that guy is talking about. What have you done? Have you nailed the mattress to the wall yet?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to change rooms on
you.
Well,
in Greg's defense, this is purely out of necessity. The way that he talked about trashing a room is like, that's what we do because we're trying to live some rock and roll lifestyle.
I'm going to have to say that if you nail a mattress to a wall, you've trashed my room.
Well, really? It was the comforter.
It's not a mattress.
You can't get a nail through a mattress.
Yeah.
That's a gigantic nail.
You got to get like a lag bolt. I need that.
Something.
And then you can't pound a lag bolt through a drywall and a mattress with an iron. You got to use the sink. And so the hard part of that is getting the sink out of the countertop.
You cannot come over.
You know, what's amazing to me is these the club owners, though. It really is a poor decision if they try to put you in a bad condo. Because then on top of it, if they want to, when I was first starting out, they want to come up to you and give you a little evaluation of the week, you know?
Oh, really?
You know, a little how'd you do type thing. And the guy's talking to me, and I'm looking at him like, man, do you know where I'm staying? Are you serious? You're going to give me some type of a critique?
Yeah.
I'm staying in a crack house?
Do you?
You know, you got your bartender is the head drug dealer in town. That's why my car is safe. You know?
We had...
Ridiculous. Just ridiculous.
I work a lot with Darren Carter, and I think we forgot to tell it. He was on the show last week. And we went to the Wild West Comedy Club in Odessa, Texas, which is now debunked because the new owners that bought from the old guy, there was an issue with Darren's money. They were shorting him $150 that was promised to him. And he's like, no, I have the contract in my room, la-di-da-di-da. And the guy pulls out of his sweatpants this huge wad of cash. He's like, listen, it's not about the money, okay? We have the money. It's about this is what we agreed, you know? This whole thing. Well, then come to find out about 6 months ago, that same guy. Oh, by the way, we also went to that guy's house. It was a double wide trailer.
Oh.
Just pimped out with Scarface memorabilia all over the place, right?
Weird.
So what happened was those guys are all in jail now because they were using the comedy club to launder drug and porn distribution money.
Right. That's rough.
That's classy.
That's no good. Yeah.
That's classy.
So these are the kind of people that you end up working with when you're starting out. I don't imagine too many improvs or funny bones are using the money to for porn distribution or drug use or maybe anymore.
I played a funny bone once that I walked into it and they're like, be quiet, the headliner's sleeping. All right, I'll be quiet. So I walk, you know, it's got a screen door.
Uh-huh.
And as I walk in, I hear a huge noise from the back, you know, this bizarre loud noise. This guy comes out covered in tats, real long hair. Dude, you got to shoot me up. You got to shoot me up.
Whoa.
Just scored some new needles.
Whoa.
Downtown. You got to, I'm holding my bags. I drove all day. You know what I mean? And I said, oh, man, you are the most fucked up guy. You know,
I wonder if that
we swear on the podcast.
Yeah.
But so, and I said, and he goes, oh, yeah, man, we both started laughing. He was so ridiculous. He's I got one lung. The kid last week should have let me die because I had a convulsion on the floor. And he took me to the hospital. I got out of the hospital. I got cancer in one lung. And I do, what's he do? He smokes crack during the day, and at night I do smack.
Oh, my
horse, or whatever he called it. You know what I mean?
This is how white bread I am. I don't know that there's a difference between those two. Like,
right.
When you say that to me, I'm like, that sounds like
anyway,
the
guy was wild. So we both laughed because it was so abrupt and bizarre.
Right.
And the guy had a good sense of humor, actually. So anyway, I got out of there. Stayed in a Super 8.
So anyway, I shot him up in his left arm.
I got a Super 8. And and then at the end of the week, the club owner was like, well, listen.
He wasn't the headliner then.
No, he was.
No, that guy was the headliner.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he was the headliner. He missed a couple shows. He had to go to the hospital and whatnot. But he said, at the end of the week, here's what the club owner, I said, yeah, well, I think you might want to, I said, you know, pick up the hotel tab. He's over there with tubes and hoses. He's doing, you know, drugs all day with dealers coming over. I said, I don't think it's safe. And the guy looks at me just straight for the club owner. It's safe.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. He says, I'll tell you what. I'm going to split the hotel room with you since you did a good job this week.
Oh,
like, dude, really? You know, nice. Amazing.
So generous.
Man, for my whole rest of my life, I'll always think you're stupid. Really stupid. So when people to this day, hey, you work for such and such? No, I don't.
Stupid.
He's a good guy. No, he's not. He's not a good guy. Not really. I mean, you know.
I wonder if every comic coming up has that same experience. I recently worked with somebody, and I know I haven't told this story on the podcast. I may have told you, Kevin, but...
Then I told the podcast.
Oh, oops.
Sometimes I just talk to the podcast.
But anyway, this is a guy who's a pretty big name that's out there that I worked with, and he had cracked a rib or whatever a week prior. And he used a bunch of pain pills the night after the first show. And he's like, hey, let's go see a movie tomorrow. Call me at this time. So I said, okay. So I called him. He was unintelligible. It was just... and then he would just randomly start going into his bits.
Like, on the phone?
Oh, on the phone with me in his hotel room. And I'm at the crappy hotel that the feature had to stay in.
Like,
so so I'm like, okay, well, hey, I'll come and get you. I'll just come and get you. He's like, okay, but... Listen, you know, I don't understand what my wife's deal is.
My wife's deal is?
Yeah. And then he would go into, like, how she's cheating on him and, like, this whole, like, routine and everything. And I was like, man.
I think I know who this is.
You know, really? Well, after the show, you can think.
Yep, that's it.
So he goes, so I go to pick him up, and we're going to go see a movie. And but he's, like, he's stumbling down the hall, like, his eyes kept opening and closing, and somebody recommended a steakhouse to us. So we're trying to find the steakhouse.
Why are you schlepping this guy around? I would have bailed on that mission.
Because I'm stupid.
You're a good guy.
Yeah, exactly. So I go.
Is he a good guy? No, he's stupid.
I'm stupid. Definitely stupid. Well, here's the other thing. I'm also the feature, and because the club owner was like, well, listen, it would help me out a lot if you got a car, and I can get you a good deal on it if you want. I was like, oh, okay. And I didn't want to look bad. Like, I couldn't afford a rental car. So I rented a car on my own dime out of my feature week pay, which for those of you playing along at home, that's about 30% of my week.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Just to get to and from the club because they didn't want to send the MC to come pick me up because the headliner wasn't staying at the same hotel because he's a big enough name, they have to put him up in the nice hotel.
That's a Bachelor of Science right there.
Yeah.
BS.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
So anyway, he doesn't want to go see the movie. He wants to take me we're going to the steakhouse, and then we couldn't find it, and then we found it, and then it was closed for lunch. So he's like, oh, we I got to get something to eat. I'm starving. And all of this is more like, starving. So we go to this like Tomatino place or whatever. And he's passing out while he's trying to buy me lunch. Like, he's like, no, I'm paying. I'm like, no, it's okay. Like, no.
Is this Texas?
No, it was in Iowa. Yeah, Iowa.
All right.
So are you still trying to figure out who it is?
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, he goes and he tries. He pulls out his card, but it's half in his wallet and half out of his wallet. And the lady's already rung up the wheel. So she's in the same awkward situation that I am.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right. And I just pulled out my wallet. I paid for lunch, and I just kind of pushed it back into it and put it in his hand. I walked him back to his thing, and then he's sitting. And at certain points, it looks like his face is going to fall into his pizza. Like,
yeah.
He'll just go to sleep, like having narcolepsy. Like, he'll just be talking to... lose him. And then he starts saying, then he goes back into like he's writing jokes about this where he's like, he goes, I can see it now. You're gonna write a book and they're gonna have you on some talk show and you'll be like, me, I was there when it happened. I was there when he died. He died at a Tomatino in Iowa. And it was very funny stuff, you know. So clearly this guy's in the right profession.
Because
when he's literally dying, he's still cranking them out. He's still got them coming. And the whole time I'm thinking, should I take this guy to the hospital?
No, you chuck him in his room. You go back to your room and work, and you tighten up your 45. That's what you do. Tell the club owner, that'll be another grand. Close your shows. What happened to the headline? He passed away this afternoon. Don't tell anybody. You got to close. Pay raise. Screw him. Ridiculous.
Well, I did not follow Greg Hahn's advice. I took it back.
Ditch that guy.
He wanted to go. This is when he decided he wanted to go to Barnes & Noble. I'm like, do you want to just go back to your room and take a nap and sleep this off? He's like, no. So he goes, I got this
book. This guy's been in the business a long time.
Yes.
Is he slender?
Kind of. Yeah, a little bit. So he goes, we go to Barnes & Noble. He wants to show me this book that he thinks will help me with my material. And it has nothing to do with comedy, by the way. But I'm afraid if I get too specific, it'll give it away. But anyway. Because I did.
Is it the Bible?
This guy kept saying, awesome. He goes, you're going to tell this story for years. I said, honestly, dude, this is what I said. He was also heavily under the influence of pain pills at this time. He goes, dude, you're going to be telling this story to everybody. Oh, this is going to be horrible. I said, I swear to you, dude, I will never mention your name.
Unless I figure it out.
Yeah. So anyway, we go back, and he almost passes out in Barnes & Noble and falls on a bookshelf and almost knocks it over. So I have to grab him.
Right.
So then he's like, I just need something
Sounds
to
like
eat. I need some ice cream. So we go to Cold Stone, also on my dime. So I buy him some Cold Stone, and then he's holding it, but it's just dripping over his hand the whole time.
You didn't get it in the cup?
No, I did get it in a cup, but it's still dripping in his hand because he can't eat it fast enough. He got an I love it or something, or I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, and then as he was trying to put stuff in his pockets, he's dropping like hundreds of dollars in 20s.
Oh,
and people in the mall are going, oh, you dropped this, sir, you dropped this. And it happened 3 times just from the end of the line in Cold Stone to us finding a table and then exiting the mall. And 3 times somebody came up with these. I had to start watching for his money. I get him back to his hotel room.
Why didn't you use any of that to pay for Cold Stone and lunch?
Because I'm an idiot. So I get him back to his hotel. And the whole time, by the way, all that I'm thinking about is like, what's going to happen to me? This is really messed up. I go, but what's going to happen to me if this guy really does croak? Yeah. Like, this
Nothing.
Was my...
This
Titan 45.
Yeah, you're gonna handle it. You're gonna close.
Maybe I'd be further along. I'm gonna give you 10% of everything I make. And you're gonna just to be my, like, I don't know, what is it, spiritual advisor, I guess.
Your Jiminy Cricket. Yeah. Your conscience.
So anyway, we go back to the hotel. He passes out. Oh, that's what I was gonna say. Is that the whole time I'm panicked about how it's gonna make me look bad if something happens to this guy? Like, I gotta take care of him or whatever. But I don't want to take him to the hospital because I'm afraid that then what if it becomes like a news story that he's in the hospital. Yeah. Because he overdosed on stuff or whatever. So I get him back to his room, and he just keeps fading in and out. And I'm afraid to let him just sleep in his room by himself.
Old scene. Yeah.
Yeah. So I grab his cell phone, and I call his house, and I spoke to his wife and said, hey, this is what happened. He rattled off 4 different names of pills, and he took half of each of them or something like that. I go, I don't know.
This is the chick that cheats on him.
Exactly.
She hopes he dies. You got to call the club owner.
Well, later on, he's the one who really cares about him showing up tonight.
Yeah, she wants him dead. She'd be like, get another 2 pills you're out very, from each bottle.
You're very close, Greg, because later on I found out that she was cheating on him, and she probably could have cared less if he stayed alive. And so I was like, so I call her thinking this is somebody who cares. She said she seemed very flippant about it. Like, and again, at the time I was not aware of any situation. I thought everything he was doing was bits, you know. So I said, I go, here's the thing. She goes, yeah, I think he's okay. Just let him sleep it off. He'll be okay. She goes, just do whatever you got to do. And I said, well, here's the thing. I go, I know you don't know me and I don't want to seem super creepy. I go, but I really feel weird just leaving him here. All I had planned today was to watch the NASCAR race, so I'll just watch it in the living room. It's a separate room, and I'll just check in on him every now and then. Is that okay with you? She goes, actually, that would be great if you could do that, if you don't mind. I was like, yeah, sure. So I let him go, and then it comes closer to showtime, and I wake him up, and then he was a lot better. He was still super, super groggy. It was like 3/4 of what he was at before.
What's his name?
I can't tell you.
Almost had it for you.
So then he goes on to do the show, and it was like nothing had ever happened to him.
Wow.
He was in the green room, and I left him alone, and I don't know if he had smelling salts in there, but literally they're like, ladies and gentlemen, please. Blah, 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 blah. And then
what did they say?
They said his name.
Huh? Yeah.
He came out.
Jeff Johnson gig?
No. No, this was at a more prestigious place to perform comedy in Iowa. I'm afraid that if I tell...
There isn't one. Where's that?
We should go.
Where's that?
Wait, I hope I have the city right. I was at the Funny Bone. It was at the Funny Bone there.
Is there a Funny Bone in Iowa?
Des Moines, yeah.
Let me think about this. Des Moines, Iowa. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I played it once.
Yeah. I've been there.
You play Omaha, then you play Des Moines. Is that the lineup?
No. Maybe when you're a headliner, but when you're the feature, they give you whatever they have open because right. somebody can't come with the headliner or something that week. Like, so I was jumping all over the Midwest when I first got those dates from Stroop or whatever. But anyway, I've been there two or three times, so whatever time you're looking at is the wrong time for this guy. Just whatever. Anyway. So he goes up there like nothing ever happens, and then the rest of the weekend is fine, and he kept apologizing about it. I was like, no, it's okay, you know. And then the end of the week, like, we became buddies through the trip, and like, and then at the end of the week he says,
has he been on the podcast?
No. He says at the end of the week, he's like, hey, you're a good guy. He goes, I appreciate it. He goes, you know, I have a guy out of New York that I usually use, but obviously sometimes he's not available. He goes, would you like to come and work with me again? I was like, are you kidding? Yes. Like, especially if we can move past this whole pain pill thing. Like, in this, I don't have to be a babysitting every weekend, but this would be awesome. You know what I mean? And then, of course, never heard from him.
Good. Because you end up doing the same thing or worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does this pill maneuver. Without even knowing who he is, I guarantee this is a weekly thing. Or
really?
You can tell. I mean, can't you tell also by the way his wife reacts?
Yeah.
Mm. Ah, the old pill maneuver. Yeah, well. He'll sleep it off.
He'll sleep it off. He's okay.
You know, then he sleeps it off and he's fine. Yeah, yeah. You don't want to go through that. Never mind that.
So it made me think that I guess everybody, when they're coming up through comedy, has some situation with some drug addicted guy.
Yeah, yeah, some problem. Take care of a guy. Yeah, he'll take care of a guy mission. Yeah, don't take care
of the rite of passage.
What do you make your features do for you, Greg?
Nothing. I don't care. I walk in. Who's this? Hey, what's up, dude? Hey, you mind if I do the bit, whatever it is. Who cares? I'm not even going to watch you. Kill it, man. Kill it. Tear it in. One.
But I like to.
Can I be dirty? I hear you're really clean. They said I ought to be clean. Do your thing. Be dirty. Do all my bits. Do job interview, Marines. I only got three bits. Do them all.
Can I just do your act?
Dump some beer on your head and I'll go up. I don't care. I'm not going to stifle a guy. You know what I mean? You know?
They're like, we just saw this guy, didn't we? Yeah. Wasn't he just up there?
Yeah.
Why is this
so what do you think? What do I think? I didn't even see it. You know?
That must be annoying, huh? Because they have seminars for comedians starting out where now there's an actual part of a class that's devoted to how to interact with a headliner.
Is that right?
Yes, where they tell you, like, don't immediately go up to them and say, hey, can I open for you? Do you need an opener or whatever?
That's
off-putting. Like, what are the weird kind of things that features do to you? Can I ask? Or?
Yeah, sure, but nothing, really. They're fine. They're just dudes coming up, you know? I just, I normally appreciate them. You know what? I'm normally in my own world. I'm happy they're there because I do a lot of corporate shows and there's no opener at all.
Yeah.
So any guy on stage in front of me, I'm usually just happy the dude's there.
Thank you.
You know, hey, great. Hey, how are you, man? You know, and he's like, oh, this is my girlfriend. Hey, there's your girlfriend. Great. I don't care. I got my own thing going. You know what I mean? I'm trying to get some jokes together. I want to mumble something new on stage. I usually show up. I'm really hungry or sleep deprived. We got problems, headliners, or any guy, any comic, you know?
Yeah.
I'm learning so much because you asked our names three times. Do you have them yet?
Yes, Justin and Kevin.
Yeah!
Jacob took off.
Yeah, he's the baby.
Yeah, he's my favorite.
We won't ask you if the girls have names. There were women. They're gone.
Yeah,
they don't have names.
Good job, man. Way to go.
Yeah, right?
Shoot them away.
Yeah, keep them in a separate room. They don't look at us unless we ask them to.
Hungry!
No, don't say that. It's okay.
Go back upstairs, honey. Go back upstairs.
That's close.
Go back upstairs. I wonder how chauvinistic my lifestyle really is. Like,
Pretty? Oh, yeah.
I mean, is it if you call your wife the C word and it's still she still is with you? Is that like 1950s style marriage?
Yeah. Okay. That's just abusive.
Hey, man, I've come up with like nine. Is it nine or ten? Like, but nine or so. I don't have them memorized, but I can do a few. Nine rules she's gonna have to agree to. It's my wedding agreement.
Ooh.
Before I get married, the girl has to agree to these things. Like number one, at no time will your rear end be wider than your shoulders.
A good rule.
Not bad, right? Yeah, some guys like it reversed. Number two, we will have a dog for me to play with and you to care for. Same with children. Number three, your eyebrows will number a total of two. Not super skinny or painted on that reflects mental illness.
It does. That's accurate.
It goes on. I forget how else. I got other ones. I forget how they go. What's the? Oh, yeah. When you run, it should not appear as if your legs are on backwards. That's key. I like coordination. You know what I mean? If for some reason you cut your hair off, please gather your belongings and get out. Don't explain to me that you now look sassy. Just keep walking. You ever get frustrated or angry with me? Don't bring it up. Instead, just bake a chicken. I got to get a girl to agree.
Yeah.
That's good. Is there anybody who's no takers,
but it's kind of a new thing I'm working on. It's only been out for like 3 or 4 weeks.
But has any chick ever tried to like negotiate? Well, I'll do 5 through 7 if you drop.
That's funny.
You
know, not yet. I got a list. I want a guy with no list. We'll see.
That's a great speed dating tactic.
Just sit in front of her with my cards, reading it off the card.
Hi, my
number 6.
Next to 7. You've listed 6.
So my name is
Your family can ask questions on a need-to-know basis. Number 8. You don't like lists? Well, don't forget about the chicken.
Man, I want to marry you now. This is solid stuff.
I had a friend who got divorced, and he was in his late 40s and trying to meet people. And he's like, you know, I'm not interested in playing this dating game. So he had a business card made up of a picture of him facing forward, naked, with his hands covered in his junk, and then from behind, and it had a list of all of his flaws, and then it had his phone number on it.
So funny.
If he saw a girl in a bar that he thought was cute, he'd be like, "Here's what's wrong with me. If you want to,
here's what's right with me.
If you want to tell me what's up with you, then give me a call at this number." And that was his whole spiel. That was his only line, and I think it worked. I haven't talked to the guy in a long time, but it worked on like at least 3 women.
That's awesome.
And he goes, and other women are like friends of mine are like, "That's crazy. Why? What girl would be?" He goes, "The girl that is okay with this is the girl that I can spend some time focusing on, because otherwise it might be a waste of time. You know what I mean? If a chick doesn't have a sense of humor, I'm not interested. Right. I don't want any of that. So maybe this list thing isn't that far-fetched. Maybe you take it, you go 15, and then you find the woman of your dreams.
I think you need to come up with a catchy title for that and then work on a script, because this is, I mean, if you're out of your league and 10 things I hate about you can give me, you can work this. The
9
list.
Simple rules for dating Greg.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Now we've got the title. I think the script is, we can bang this out in an hour.
All right, good. I thought it was going to be like a little 4-minute bit on stage. No, it's going to change my life.
We're taking you to the next level.
You guys must write.
I've heard about that.
That's taking jokes and keeping them on paper.
Yeah. So you don't have to try to remember them at all.
What did I say? It was funny. We were saying something.
Oh, did you say that at some point you were also in the Marines, too?
Yeah, I was in the Marines way back when. Yeah, it was a good
time. For how long? Can I ask?
Yeah, you can ask. It was.
What kind of car do you drive?
Can I ask? I didn't say you could ask that.
I heard you had a job interview. How'd that go?
Well, it went well.
Tell me about the Marines.
Oh, man, I was in the Marines. Funny you should bring that up. I had a big car. No, it was good, man. The Marine Corps was fine. It was great. You know, you got to stand in front of people and scream and yell and whatnot. That's good. It's great training. Outstanding. You know, that's the word. Outstanding. Today we're going to hit you in the head with a pipe. Outstanding, you know. I loved it. And then, you know, yeah, I try to get a real job. And the rest of my act. That's great.
Well, how long? Because we also have another mutual friend who was in the Marine, and he
has killed a man.
He's killed many. Yeah. He was working security detail at the embassy in Moscow during the Cold War. And then when the Cold War ended, they sent him to Mexico City, and he was doing security detail there at the embassy. But when the DEA found out he had sneak training, they would ask him to go out into the jungles of South America and find cocaine fields, and then they would call in airstrikes to napalm these like cocaine fields. And this is a guy that I did kid shows with. And he was telling me this story of and I've told this, I think, on the show. But anyway, he says that he goes, "You've never felt more alive than when you're running through the jungles of the Congo and bullets are just whizzing by you." Now, I don't know if you, Greg Hahn.
I don't know. I've been on dates where I wanted to call it an airstrike. You know what I mean? This isn't going well.
Brit 7964. Baja Fresh.
Take it out.
Yeah. Honey, I got to go to the bathroom.
Right. Call it an airstrike on my own position. It's not working out.
That was a mistake.
That guy's a madman.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Like, and he's retired. They wanted him to go back to, after it was all over, the drug war was kind of dying out as far as publicity, and they weren't spending as much money and time on it. They wanted him to go back to driving trucks, and he was like, "I couldn't do that. I'm not.
What's he doing now?
Now he
is he a comic?
No, he's not a comic.
Headlining and taking pills?
Iowa.
Iowa. I love going to Iowa, man.
Isn't that great? That's
like, I love, I seriously like it, that place.
I love all of the going to all of the Midwestern cities and all of the South. That's kind of like I know that a lot of comics are like, well, they're not hoodie enough or whatever, but mostly like Omaha. I love doing the Funny Bone out there in Omaha. It's a great, great, great room.
Is it?
Oh yeah, you've got to have been.
I did it once like 10 years ago. Is that a Bob and Tom audience? I just go to the Bob and Tom audiences.
No, they have the Todd and Tyler.
Yeah, that's I don't know those guys.
Yeah,
I gotta do that show, I guess. Is that lady still booking it?
Colleen, no, she just she's now doing. I guess she just left to do management and.
Hey, everybody in England, are you into this? How's it going over there?
We told Greg about
comedian talk, inside comic talk.
PJ and Helen are our two listeners. PJ,
oh, you know about our England list.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Bangers.
But they're like, never mind all that. Get back to who's booking the boat. Who's booking it? Colleen left. What happened to Colleen? Well.
Riveting.
Yeah.
She's doing, I think, like a management type job now so that she's free to travel. And now the used to be the manager of the Kansas City Improv. Brian Shields is now managing. And
I don't know that guy either.
He's great.
All right.
You would love him.
Is he? Okay, cool. Yes, is that a Bob and Tom market? That's all I do. I mentioned that yet? I can't put the shoes on for under $5,000. Have I said that yet? We got $4,000. I can see my socks from here. You know. Yeah. Plus air? No. Oh, I'm on the
How did that relationship start with, for those of you who don't know, Greg is like a huge regular. You headline the Bob and Tom comedy tours and stuff like
that. I'm doing
that now.
It's the best. Oh, it's the most fun I've ever had in comedy.
How did you hook up with these guys? Was it happenstance?
Yeah, it was happenstance. I was playing a club in Indiana. Oh, actually, you know what? Actually, here's what happened. I did what's it called? The TV show with Arsenio Hall, the second round it came out. What was it called?
Star Search.
Star Search. I did Star Search.
Right.
And lost in the first round. Outstanding. I thought, well, good. But I lived in Hollywood. So, like, you know, I was out of there and in the middle of the day and could still get my girlfriend to get something to eat. I didn't care. All right. So then, but anyways, yeah, Tom Griswold of the show saw me on TV, put me on the Bob and Tom show. And I was playing a club in Indianapolis, and they're like, yeah, come and do our show. And I knew that guys made a big hubbub about it.
Mm. Yeah.
So I did the show, and just, you know, to me it was another nice radio show, nice studio. Did all the jokes. You know, you come in there first time on a show, you got all your jokes are fresh. Yeah. So it went well. You do it once. Next thing you know, you've done it like 11 times. Then next thing you know, you go to Wichita, and you can't find a place to park for yourself because the club is full of people.
That's awesome.
That's when it first dawned on me, like, whoa, this radio thing. And they're chanting your name and yelling and screaming. You know?
Wow.
So, yeah, that's been my biggest break in the comedy world.
You know, it's funny. I didn't know that it was your bit, but I think I've heard you on the Bob and Tom show because he used to play in my hometown of Modesto, California when I was delivering papers and stuff. Because I do remember a comic like that I had to stop on my bike doing the bit about going into the Marines, and the way that you said outstanding just cracked me up. Like, everything was outstanding. Outstanding! Like,
yeah.
And so that's hilarious. What a small world that now it's clicking for me that I was like, I heard you. I don't know how long ago.
Yeah.
That's two, yeah.
Well, they're great because they if you do a bit, it goes well. They'll record it and they'll play it again and again and again when you're not there. Oh, man, it's the best.
Well, you know, Britney Spears lost in Star Search as well. So you
did she really?
Oh, yeah. She was, whatever, 7 or 8, and she lost to some bright-eyed blonde.
Yeah, I didn't care.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're sharing line with Britney Spears. So that's
great. Britney did all right.
Oh, I thought you were okay. I got lost in that. I thought he said he didn't care that Britney Spears lost. Now he's saying he didn't care that he lost.
It's too bad, because the guy that beat me, I mean, he's really struggling, you know? Like,
It
didn't...
See, yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
Didn't do
it's the kiss
lot.
Of death.
Well, you know what? Actually, I shouldn't knock it, because it did help me.
Yeah.
Because it got me on Bob and Tom. And since then, I've made a mint. I'm loaded. If it weren't for money, I'd be a multimillionaire.
Yeah, you're dropping 20s out of your pockets, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I'm into managing money now. I manage my own money. I fired my money guy.
I'm
telling you. That's the way to go.
You have stocks
to fire
and
a money
bonds?
Guy.
Yeah, I fired him. Yeah, I got that stuff. You know what I mean? I learned about it. I use Ameritrade. I tell a guy at Ameritrade, hey, look, man, I want to take my whole, I want to take my Roth, I want to take all my retirement and put it on one stock. What do you think of that? Well, sir, you're going to be violating an awful lot of investment principles. Quick question. How long has Ameritrade been hiring pussies? I'm trying to get something done here. I'm having a good time with it, man. I'll be broke by next Wednesday. Never mind diversification. You need to diversify. Never mind diversification. You pick a high flyer and bet the farm. That's what I'm doing. The whole thing. It's a scam. Mutual funds and their managers. They take a lot of money from you. Just telling you. A lot of times they have a guy that takes, here's what they got. You got a financial advisor. He's the guy, he takes a fee, and then he just, all he does is find a mutual fund to put you in.
Yeah.
Then the mutual fund manager takes a fee. That's double
right.
fees.
Yeah.
You can pick your own stupid mutual fund. It's a job that shouldn't exist. Financial advisor. Thank you very much. Greg Hahn, 2010.
GregHahn.com for all your financial advice.
It's ridiculous.
I've learned so much.
Yeah. You never use one. Just pick it your own. Pick it yourself.
Go you must be a telemarketer's nightmare if somebody calls your house. Or is it your...
Well, when they try to steer me into a product, you know, the financial guys, if that's what you're talking about. Yeah. Hey, listen, man, I don't want to use Amerivest. I'm asking you. Which bond fund is the best? Whatever. It's simple.
I had a moment since moving. I have Charter Cable, and they have an issue with starting my HBO service, and there's all these other issues that came along, so I had to call the tech support line, and I started talking to this chick, and she goes, sir, yes, what can I help you? What's your problem? I said, well, my problem is that you've sent people out here twice, and I've been living here for 3 weeks now, and I still don't have HBO or all of the HD channels that I'm supposedly paying for. So I would like you to fix that, right? And she kind of said something smarmy to me or something like that. And
I'll be happy to help you with that.
Yeah, and I was like, and she was very good at the jargon of making you feel like she's making things happen and all this stuff.
Right,
and so I just started, you know, busting her balls, for lack of a better term. And at one point, I said, listen, her name is Ophelia.
Yeah!
I said, listen, Ophelia, I got, she goes, well, what channel isn't working? I go, I'm going to rattle it off to you, okay? I got history and HD that I'm not getting, and this is going to give us a hard out, because at 11 o'clock, there's a KKK documentary, and I need to see my racism in high definition. And there was silence.
Nice.
Now, everybody in the living room, because I had family over the weekend, they thought it was hysterical.
Right, she's being recorded and all that. Right? So I was recording you to make sure we do a good job.
Yeah.
She's like, she can't agree with you.
Yeah, she's got to freeze up when you make a racist joke. It's a joke about race.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah,
like, you're not saying you're a racist.
No. I'm saying
they're racist and you're going to watch it.
Yeah.
You want to see it clearly.
I want to enjoy.
You want to see your racism clearly.
I find racism entertaining is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that's why I want to see it. I want to see every little pore on their faces.
Well, you wouldn't see their faces because, they're under the cloth.
I want to see
the
stitch
fabric.
Count. I want to know what the count is, if it's Egyptian
count.
Cotton or whatever that they wear on their hoods.
I think that's totally acceptable. What did she respond eventually?
She just did. She went silent, and then she gave me the next line. I go, okay, well, I'm going to put you on hold while I see if I can't resolve this issue. But after that, there was other, I wish I could remember that at one point my brother-in-law was like, you should be recording this or whatever, because then it would be fun to play. But because I started getting her, and then she was laughing, and then she loosened up and said that, I said, I'm going, oh, Ophelia, if you could fix this,
Ophelia,
this is going to be so awesome. I go, but I got to be honest, with the times that you're putting me on hold, I feel a 5-hour window in my near future. Is that what's going to happen? Is somebody going to be here between next Tuesday, between the hours of 8 a.m. and 4 p.m.? And she's like, ha, no. And then I go, oh, if you can make this happen, Ophelia. I love you. I'm going to be honest. I think we've got a little chemistry going on on the phone. And then she gets uncomfortable and she says, well, I'm getting married.
And
I go, oh, really? When's the big day? I don't talk about that stuff. You brought it up. So then the game became more about trying to sidetrack her for actually solving my cable issue.
Did she say I'm getting married?
Yeah, she said. She goes,
funny.
I'm getting married, actually. And I said, oh, really? I go,
can I come?
Yeah. I go, well, I bet you I could change your mind. I said, here's what you need to do. You need to Google me. I'm a very funny person.
Yeah, come on, baby. I'm a comic. I fly around, you know?
I
tell some
Iowa.
Jokes. I sip the sauce. I swing by Vegas. I don't feel right unless I'm around some felt.
Maybe I buzz through Florida, right? Get a little Ophelia. Yeah?
Oh, is that where they're based on? Did I ever tell when I called India and got my Rosetta Stone for speaking in Hindi?
No.
I never talked about that. I went to India, and to prepare for it, I purchased the Rosetta Stone to learn Hindi, the language they speak in India. And to purchase it, I was routed through a customer service in India. So I'm talking to her and I'm like, I want the Hindi, and it's very expensive. And she's like, well, sir, it's $300-$600 or something. And I talked to her for a little while. I'm like, oh, that's kind of a lot. And she's like, well, we can give it to you for $600, and that's the amount. And I kind of talked to her for a little bit, and I decided I didn't want it. And I go, well, you're in India, right? And she says, yes. I said, could you just teach me Hindi over the phone here? She's like, sir, for you, I have a special right now. I was like, all right, I'll take it.
Did she lower the price?
Yeah, she lowered it by half. She got it down to $300 for me.
Wow.
I'm like, yeah.
Are you kidding?
No. Yeah, like somehow I wore her down. Or she's like, I've had enough of this American guy. And she gave me whatever discount they had available. So, yeah, I bought it right there on the phone. I'm like, sweet, I'll take it.
Now, are you doing comedy as well?
No, I don't. I don't know how.
I see.
Kevin right. and I used to do improv with Comedy Sports back in the day up in San Jose. So that's our background. See. We had, I guess, could be called.
And you worked at Universal as well?
I worked at Universal, Disneyland, Great America. Man, yeah.
He used to host the effect show at Universal here in Hollywood.
Wow, all right.
Yeah. This is what happens when you interview us.
No, I think you guys know the crack addict.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we'll bring it up later. Oh, man, all the good stuff is off the show. This show.
You know what, and I'll tell you what, folks, if you donate $2 to the Second Funniest Podcast, you will open the mics up, and you can hear the names of all the people that...
I would totally do that. I would totally sell out.
You would sell
out.
That guy out?
I would sell him out.
You swore to him you'd never tell anybody.
Listen,
enough for $2.
Greg Hahn has changed my perspective on this whole thing. If you go to secondfunniestpodcast.com and click on the $2 subscription link, I will email you the name of the person that I'm talking about immediately.
And the guy that was on crack.
He won't care.
Well.
Yeah. He won't care. Have a good time.
Yeah, it's not like I'm lying.
He does it every week. He's worried about a new scandal this week. Yeah. Probably some guy leading him around right now with a drool bucket as we talk. You know, there's no doubt.
So you're going to see Paul Blart Mall Cop.
That's the movie you're going to go see. Yeah. Now we can figure out the timeline.
Yeah. It's what, a 6-month window?
I don't think Paul Blart Mall Cop was out that long.
And also, in my defense, that he was also heavily intoxicated, so it couldn't have been in the theaters anymore.
That's probably the truth.
Or maybe not released yet. I'm probably screwed.
It's probably.
But seriously, if you go click on the subscription, $2 a month, it's just 50 cents a show.
And I'll give you the name of the first person I ever had a crush on in the second grade. I don't know.
We're bringing heavy.
That's an interesting name.
And I'll give you the name of the log rolling dog that couldn't swim.
It was Splash.
Yeah.
You told me it was Splash.
It was Lady Guinevere.
Which I don't know if it's fun to go back to, but it really does blow my mind that that's what theme parks will do to make shows. That they're like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get a bunch of drunk lumberjacks.
I'm sure the guy that owned the show, he didn't advertise. Here's what I'm going to bring in a bunch of drunk guys, right?
What year was this? The 80s, 90s?
No, this is like 1991 or so.
Oh, okay, yeah. So.
That's hilarious.
Look, I'm going to fly in a bunch of drunks, okay? They're good to go. 4 shows a day. All right?
Somebody's bound to make a mistake here or there.
Yeah.
That's where the money happens.
Yeah. Some of the guys, they sleep once every 3-4 nights. Don't worry about it. Yeah, the lead guy's new to the whole thing. He's going to be in heaven. He'll smile a lot. And
they sleep with an axe.
He'll just be happy doing summer stock at a theme park.
Yeah, I was thrilled. So it's called summer stock. I didn't care. Whatever, man. I love
summer stock. Is like when you do Shakespeare or a theater show or whatever.
Yeah. Right.
But
yeah.
So to me, it sounds like the equivalent of doing summer stock
as a
comedian.
Like, you're right. Right.
It'll all work out for him in the end. It'll all.
All right, everybody. All right, what do we do next? That's it. Hey, thanks for... Where are we at?
How did you develop the clap snap thing?
Where I don't know. As a kid, coming up, you know, I never had a big attention span watching comedy. I always wanted to move
Sesame
quick and
Street.
Get the punch. I don't know. For some reason, it's just like a rhythm thing. I probably do too much, probably distracting for the audience.
No, I like it.
How's it going, everybody? Come on. Hey, how you doing? You know me. I drink shampoo. I live too close to the power cable. I wear a diaper. I do 5-minute abs in 1:37. What a night! Auditioning for the Montreal Comedy Festival. It's going to change my life. Me and 14 agents and 2 managers. All pissed that they got to wait through me for their guy to come up. Right? Isn't that ridiculous? And then the guy who did the show after us, Jay Davis, he packed the place.
Yeah, that's what was so annoying.
So the Montreal Comedy Festival can't get anybody in there, but the kid who's, you know, the
used
dude
to open for Dane Cook.
Yeah, Dane Cook, he's a nice guy. He packs that thing, man.
Well,
I don't understand that. It doesn't make sense to me.
I don't understand why they just didn't put him at the same time. Put Jay Davis in the show. Because here's what they happened. I think literally while Greg Hahn was on stage at the Laugh Factory, Jay's audience was being shuttled upstairs so that they could at least pump drinks into them and make money off of them. But don't seat him in the crowd.
Yeah, no, that would
be
easy.
Don't put him in front of the stage. Put him upstairs in the bar and keep him far away from the entertainment that's happening that could make or break careers happening there.
Like, have you done comedy in New York? You've been in Manhattan?
No, I'm not.
Did they do comedy there?
Very low on the ladder.
Did
you comedy in New York?
Try that.
Try New York?
I'm just saying. You know, it's been some exciting. You're really tested. You know, you go there.
Interesting.
Oh, really? The audiences are rough?
Try to go on they're great because they're full of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you go on, like after midnight, 1 in the morning. And you learn if you could follow a guy like Godfrey, or who's that other guy, or you know David Tell.
Yeah. It's like the same audience, and they get to stay and watch more comedy.
A lot of comedy.
It's like the Laugh Factory and Comedy Store.
It gets tougher as it gets later. You know, that's one of the reasons I moved to to Los Angeles. I remember like
it's just easy
tanking.
Did you start out in New York? I didn't know that. Like,
No. I started in Florida. Drove around for 10 years, you know, and then moved to New York, and then did those. And overall, it went great.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But sometimes you have a bad, tough set after like some guy is just great, you know, brilliant guy.
Yeah,
dirty. If I go up there for like a dirty, funny guy, not just dumb dirty, like smart dirty.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm destroyed.
Like a Dave Attell. Like he's like Attell. Would define him as smart dirty. You know what I mean? Like,
right. But at least he does jokes. No, there's other guys that could just.
Because you're
talk.
A dumb clean. Is that why?
Yeah, dumb clean doesn't do well with right. Follow smart dirty. Smart dirty. But I remember like walking to my car, you know, like after dumping beer on my head and stuff. This bit I got in my act, and just like just didn't go well.
Yeah.
And, schlepping to my car. Then this woman comes out of the darkness and says, I know what you're looking for.
Oh.
And I got a man for you.
What?
What? Everything was wrong that night. That's a dozen.
Did you try running by the list for this fella? At least?
No. I looked at him and thought, that's it. L.A. I'm moving to L.A.
I'm done here.
Tanked.
New York is dead.
This lady isn't even a hooker. She had a punchline better than any of mine. You know, some gimpy dude standing behind her sticks his face. What? I got a man. Oh, you got to be kidding me. Well, I was in the village, you know. Yeah. But anyway, that was a rough night. Rough night, everybody.
I'm curious, because I have these where it's like, I've only been doing stand-up about 5 years, and it's like they have that saying, you're only as good as your last show or whatever. Right, like I've talked to Heath, our friend, has told me that before, and it's like you can have – like I just came off of a week at the Omaha Funny Bone recently, and it went great. It was amazing.
Well, then
the whole
you're good,
show
period, the end.
Yeah, exactly. Then I was like, okay, that's awesome. But then I come back, and I do some one-nighter in a bar, and it's just like burr, burr, burr. And then you start – for me, at least, I'm curious what your take is on it, like if you ever have – although I'm sure now it's a, but back in the day when you were having rough shows and stuff, what did ever be like, you know what, I can't do this? Or was it always like, this is it. This is what I'm going to do. I just have to make it happen.
Oh, yeah. No. You'd have a just green light. You got to go do it. You know what I mean? Yeah, I've gone before shows and it felt like some palpitations. Like, I think I'm going to have a heart attack.
Oh, wow.
I think I might have a heart attack. Well, like, usually when I had some annoying girlfriend complaining about where she's, you know, I don't like my seat. Where am I going to sit? I'm looking at the setup. There's a dance floor and everything's wrong and it's wrong and everything's wrong.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking. It's a crazy bar.
Yeah.
University of Kentucky or something, you know? And I'm like, oh man, this is just, where am I going to sit? I'm like, man, my feet might shoot out. But yeah, all those gigs, you just go up and, well, did you have a guy in front of you? Was a guy opening the show? That smooths the path. That really, really helps a ton.
Yeah, featuring, because that's what the nice jump, when I made the jump from MC to featuring, has been nice.
Unless they have a local guy that goes up and they all know him.
Yeah.
That's even harder. That buries you, because he'll go up, he'll usually be super blue and do whatever local jokes. And a lot of times he's a a pretty experienced dude, but he doesn't want to leave town.
Yep.
So to follow him is tough. Yeah, there's some tough gigs out there.
Yeah. In the San Antonio gig, the guy they had hosting that week, just because he was available, needed some work. He was building a traffic school business or whatever. Jay LaFar is his name. Great guy, but he headlines that club. So imagine being the feature coming in for the first time and having to follow a headliner doing 10 minutes up front.
But if he's smart, he sets you up well.
He did.
You know what I mean? Like,
I don't think here's the thing. In my opinion, and I don't know, I never asked him, but I don't think he necessarily held back. But I don't. But at the same time, and maybe that's just my ego talking, that I wanted to be like he did what he would do if he had to do his best 10 minutes, and I had no problem following it. Like if it was a rough crowd, it was a rough crowd, and that was it. But I'm also, I guess I'm somewhere in the middle of like what was like the headliner was a Barry Friedman. I don't know if you know him, very funny guy, but more like one liner style, and very low energy. And so I'm kind of high energy and faster, so it was easy for me. Like so then sometimes he might have a little bit of trouble. After me, because that sucks, you know, when you're the guy that's got to follow. Like, imagine following a Greg Hahn after that. Like, that's
some guys do great, man. Michael Jr., you ever heard of him? Oh. He's real slow and calm.
Yes.
He loves to follow me.
My favorite Michael Jr. Thing was at the Comedy and Magic Club when they do those birthday shows. I've never done one. I think I just got to the point where Richard will give me 5 minutes, is what I've heard through the grapevine.
Good.
So, anyway, he's doing these birthday shows, and I don't know if you were, I don't think you were there for this night, but they came out, and it was Siddiqui was there. who's the other guy? Real small, small black guy, skinny, got a kind of like a light voice like this.
Totally don't know.
Yeah. But anyway, very funny guy. Anyway, they said, oh, he goes, check this out. Two black comics in a row on the lineup here at the Comedy Magic Club. Give a round of applause to the Comedy Magic Club. Everybody claps. You know? And then Michael Jr. comes out and he goes, can you believe this?
Yeah.
Three black comedians in a row. And then ding, they ring the bell, which means that his set is over. So, right. He just funny. Like he gives like this deadpan mean look to to the sound guy, like what the
yeah,
and he sighs and then he goes, your next comedian. And then the crowd goes, oh, he's like, no, I'm done. And he brings out the next guy, and the poor next guy, because this is not what Michael Jr. thought this bit was going to turn into, but the poor guy that's got to follow this bit, they hate him because they want to see Michael Jr. Even though I don't know that Michael Jr. is necessarily a name that everybody was there to see him.
But didn't they make Michael Jr. Didn't he do his 5 minutes?
No.
It was a joke.
It was three a joke. Row, it was a bit. And then they cut him off, and then he comes, and so then they go, okay, they did like three comics, and then they go, and now, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking about him all night, and now finally he's here. Let's hear it for Michael Jr. Like they all go nuts and like, yay, and he comes out and he's like, man, this is crowd, y'all shut up. Like, and people were clapping a lot because now there's hype, you know what
I
mean?
Right.
And then as soon as the crowd is quiet, ding, they ring the bell. And it's like this great running gag from the beginning of the show all the way to the end.
Yeah.
And then he closed the show. He did like 2-3 minutes at the end. I think they still cut him off early for a bit or whatever. But
he's funny dude, man. That's the best club. If you're ever in LA, go to that club right there, Comedy Magic Club, Hermosa Beach. By far.
I want to say that I think I would be a better comedian if I could work that club when I'm when I'm here in town. Like, oh,
let's go right now.
They run that place like there's no tomorrow. Like
it's a challenge, though, man. Have you gone up at the Improv?
Yes, I've got. Well,
how do you do there?
I don't do well at the Hollywood Improv.
Right, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I don't do well there. I do really well at the Ontario Improv.
Yeah, that doesn't
and they
count.
They like me there.
No, I'm just saying. Right.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Right, but that Hollywood one, that's a good one to figure out.
Yeah,
I'd like to figure out because I go up there, I put them into shell shock. For a solid 2 minutes, 3 minutes,
Ontario?
Half the whole set.
Yeah.
No, not Ontario. That's easy. That's like a more normal crowd.
Yeah, that's like you're out on the road.
But the Hollywood crowd, you get these people. I don't know if they're real young or I don't know where they're from. I don't know if they're foreigners. I don't know what's going on. But it's an interesting mix.
Yeah.
There's an interesting vibe in there. It's a very cool vibe, isn't it?
Yes. It's very. Yeah, it is.
It's good to figure out. Like, I'd like to figure out. You can either say, it's not my thing. I'm not going. We can hunker down and figure it out.
No, I like going. I've done, I did one regular show, and then I did a couple of those. You know how they bust in those high school kids?
No, I won't do that.
Yeah. Well, I don't have the ability to say no to that.
High schoolers love this, though.
No, they don't. Think they would. They do not.
Really?
No. If I was famous, they'd go crazy. They'd be begging for it.
That's true,
But no, to go up there after a dude who's sitting on a stool wearing like a communist hat going, so I had to fucking man, where are you from? I had to fucking kill her, man. I had to kill that bitch. Huh? What? Yeah, I had to kill that bitch. I was like, really? Really?
Yeah.
And then for me to go up, hey, everybody! Woo! You know me.
You're like my gym coach.
Everybody over to my house for cupcakes and cage fighting. What a night! I'm going to find a wife tonight! You know, they're like, when's he going to come off this?
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm going to do a lot of identifiers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No,
just things that lets them know I'm going to be that way the whole time. You know what I mean?
Just so you know.
Yeah, to you it's alarming. To me it's Friday. Or whatever. You know, figure something out. But it's almost like a good little challenge, man. Because I've had good sets there.
Yeah.
And mediocre sets there. But too many, like, there's a shock in the beginning.
Yeah, because the high school kids that come in for these shows,
never mind that.
They're wealthy kids that are usually from New York, and so their families are sending them on this cross country trip, and then they bring them the whole story behind it is that they're bringing them to an R rated show.
So the
whole idea is that they want you to be filthy, and that's the expectation.
Right.
But the club kind of pitches it as, listen, we don't curtail the comics at all.
Yeah.
But when you say that to high school kids, then we want to see what we would really see if we paid to get in here.
Yeah, because that's what we're supposed to laugh at.
Yeah, exactly.
You're a badass if you're laughing at the guy.
Yeah, and if you're talking about, coming on some chick's face, then that's hilarious when you're in high school.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everybody. Or yeah, high school kid. Yeah, this is the real me. This is how I laugh.
I did. I emceed one time for a show there. But all the times I've been there, it's emceeing. And the Rick Shapiro was there one time.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's a very funny guy, but he had like kind of a weird off night there where he was just too angry for the crowd that was there.
Yeah.
And at one point, like a friend of ours, Fred, was in the crowd, and he was just like, fuck you with your blazer judging me. What are you, some kind of network producer? Fuck you. Fuck all of you people. Like, he just starts doing all that.
Wow. That's my new hero. And I was like, that's the inner voice that you're trying to.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you get the idea occurs to you, and you're like, well, now don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
don't kill him. Think of something clever to say.
Do something nice.
I've done
and
that
happy.
Before. Make I'll fucking spin. Kill you. I've said that. You can't do that. Didn't work. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah,
No.
Shapiro, then what?
My thing, when I go to that voice, is I always end up calling some chick a cunt in the crowd, and it never goes well. Yeah. Never goes well.
It's hard to bounce back. Unless you really, really, you know, you got a plan.
Yeah,
you're really clever.
I don't, and I'm not.
Yeah, it's all emotional. And then you feel guilty. Yeah. And then we talk about it for 3 weeks on the show.
Exactly. But anyway, Rick Shapiro like went off, and I wish to God I could relive this moment because I had what I thought would have been a funny line. It was still kind of relevant at the time because it was kind of weird when I go, Rick Shapiro, everybody, Rick Shapiro. And there was like people half clapping. And I wanted to say, Rick Shapiro, ladies and gentlemen, 2 weeks from calling somebody a nigger at the Laugh Factory.
Right.
That'd have been solid.
That might have gotten a laugh.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I don't know because it was like he was weirdly angry. And the only, that was when I was watching it. I remember seeing Michael Richards at the Improv probably 2 months before that whole thing happened at the Laugh Factory. And he broke the piano lid at the Hollywood Improv and knocked off two of the fake bricks just in his 15-minute set.
Michael Richards did?
Yeah, he was like, he was doing something where he kept banging on the piano, and then he grabbed the piano and went like that and ripped the hinges out of the piano.
Gosh.
And he's like, he goes, whoa, what happened there? Oh, take it on my fucking check. Fuck you. Like,
Some Seth Green action right there.
Yeah. Which, speaking of which, that's the other reason why I don't, it's not that I don't like, but I still haven't gotten paid for doing those.
I get paid. Yeah, I've never been paid.
Melrose,
I've been doing that for years.
I said, and it's always minuscule. It's $30 if you host, but I think 15 if you do the rest, any other spot, like a 10-minute spot or whatever.
Yeah.
And I remember saying, I'm like, well, I never got paid. Was I supposed to get paid that night? And then I asked the manager, and the manager says, oh, no, the booking office will send you a check. I go, okay. So then I email the booking office, and then they go, no, you're supposed to get money there, whatever. And so then the booker was like, very nice. He's like, no, just go there, fill out the paperwork. The guy will give you the money. And I'm like, really? Am I going to go down there for now $60? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, it's a video game, I guess. Like, maybe that makes it worth it. I don't know.
Yeah, go get it.
I should go get it now.
Yeah,
this is like 2 years ago.
Totally do it.
They owe me $15 from last week. Hey.
Together, you guys, it's
me and Han are here for our money.
May I help you? May you help? Cut the shit! $15! I was here last week. Maybe you don't recall the mediocre response.
Yeah. We remember, Greg.
I'm working it out. I'm thinking about it. Oh, more identifiers.
Well, judging by the headache that I have from laughing so hard right now, I think we're done. I think we're done.
All right, man, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me here. I'm all excited. Thanks for having me on the podcast. Continued success. I'll see you guys on the road. I'll see you on the road.
I'll be there.
I'll see you somewhere huge.
Kevin may start following you. You don't know what's going to happen.
Are you on Twitter? Are you on the tweeting?
No, I don't even do the tweeting. No, I'm barely on Facebook. I'm on Facebook, but I barely do it.
All right.
Stalk me on Facebook if you want. My corporate thing. I do a lot of corporate shows.
Yeah. Do you have a website?
I got thegreghahn.com.
That's GREGHAHN.
Greghahn.com. Yeah, a video starts playing immediately. You can't even you can stop it. You got to dive for the button.
You had me.
You know what's great about my promo videos? The music's unbelievable.
I saw it. It's great.
The music is great, man.
The whole thing
is a Buddy Rich tune with a big drum solo.
Like, I just feel like when I watched it, I was like,
never mind the jokes.
Here's what I imagine. Because if there's a promo video of me online, it's because I made it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if you had somebody or if that was something that you did.
No, I had somebody.
That's what I figured.
But I, you know, micromanaged it.
Yeah. You like, take this cut, take this cut. Yeah. You Clint Eastwood it, where it's like, I have director's cut. That's my final cut of what's promo. I don't know.
I'm learning a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
That's summer stock. All right.
Paul, well, thank you very much. Greg Hahn, everybody.
Thanks for having me. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you out there.
On behalf of Greg Hahn, my good friend Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worship saying, okay, bye. Thanks for listening to the Second Funniest Podcast. You can reach us at 408-228-4911 or send us an email to podcast@justincomedy.com. Please, once a month, vote for us at Podcast Alley. Also, check out our store at cafepress.com/justincomedy. All this information is available at secondfunniestpodcast.com. I'm going to be at the Sacramento Punchline March 11th through 14th. The Laugh Out Loud Comedy Club in San Antonio, Texas, March 17th through 21st.
March 25th through 28th, I'm going to be at Pepper Bellies with Darren Carter.
I'm going to be co-headlining at Wits End in Westminster, that's in Denver, near Denver, Colorado, July 14th through 18th. I'm going to be coming back to Rooster Teeth Feathers July 22nd through 25th.
For all of my stand-up appearances, check out justincomedy.com. Hey, you love the Second Funniest Podcast. We love doing it. So go to secondfunniestpodcast.com. Click on the link to subscribe to the show for $2 a month. That's 50 cents a show. No big deal, right? You're also going to get bonus stuff. When I release my next CD, you get it for free. We're going to throw as many bones as we can to the people who help keep this show alive. Maybe we can start making money on this show. We can also maybe start doing it more often if that's what you want. That's what we want to do. So check out secondfunniestpodcast.com. Thanks. If you like this podcast, check out my other podcast called Dads Are More Fun. You could go to dadsaremorefun.com or just search for Dads Are More Fun in iTunes.